What's up, everyone? It's Gavin or Tweak.
It's good, everyone. It's Matter Has. There's a lot of pressure in there. And we're doing a two-man show this week, is what I would be saying. However,
if it wasn't
first time,
Chris,
long time.
If it wasn't Chris Saludian or Chris.
Oh, damn. He came in.
I mean,
bro, nice.
I watch you guys do it every week. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I just think it.
I think it's fair to introduce Chris. Chris is the man behind the scenes, not just for our podcast, but he's done many major tournaments in Smash. He's been well-connected to the Smash scene at large and also the New Jersey Smash scene. I did a podcast with Chris years ago, which is how we started doing stuff on Tweak Talks together. So Chris has been here for every episode basically since like the mid-20s or mid-30s episodes.
I think
or
it was,
like
I could actually tell you exactly when. It was episode 41 was my first episode.
There you go.
Yeah.
Nice. So over 100 episodes.
Yeah, we're nice. This is 158 today. Honestly, man,
dude, that's crazy.
I think this is probably one of my favorite projects for sure. Like even still, like clocking in for like a Tweak Talks is a pretty good experience for me personally.
That's so, very nice to hear.
Yeah,
love
so,
to hear
so,
that.
So that's why it's like I take a day like today where I know everyone's kind of out, and I'm like, oh, you know, like I'd love to be on for a minute because usually it's like I'm already kind of I've seen every show, right?
Yeah.
So it's pretty easy.
Well, and we were supposed to start like 40 minutes ago. We all just started talking games. And it's like, dude, let's just... And that always happens, chat. I don't know if we've ever talked about that. But every time we go to do an episode, it's like, let's start at 5 o'clock. Okay, 5:55. Okay, seriously, like, can we stop talking about, you know, whatever games? Smash, whatever the hell, Yu-Gi-Oh, whatever the hell we're talking about, and just get the podcast started. But speaking of that, we do have Patreon content, of course, patreon.com/TweakTalks. Go ahead and support us there. Paid members get bonus content, about 15, 20 minutes, extra stuff that we talk about. This week, we're going to be catching up with Tweak, actually. We have a lot to cover on the show today. We have a fun little music game, rating some of the music in Ultimate. There's so much music in Ultimate, we're going to do that. So we're going to catch up with Gavin and where he's at with Smash, Yu-Gi-Oh!, all that other good stuff that he's doing, and see what he's been up to, especially because I think like this is a good transition to the first topic, but I think we had some great tournaments for Ultimate this weekend, but I think we got to toss a little salute out here for Big House, man. Tournament is on an indefinite hiatus. Definitely a tournament I really enjoyed. I think I only went to one, but I casted the top eight with Charles, who I wish he was here, obviously, right now to talk about it, but it was a really good time. It was a tournament that was tied in Nintendo and stuff, so pretty interesting just to see the tournament landscape and how things are going and just where we are overall with, like, not just, you know, Big House was mostly a Melee tournament, but Alt was there too, which is cool, but it's kind of how we're all feeling about tournaments and everything these days. I think it's a good topic, especially hearing how Gavin feels about them.
It actually is a good topic. There's a lot of landscape changing, and the craziest part about, like, Ultimate right now is just everyone is in limbo with, like, Switch 2 and what's next, you know, saying the usual crap. So what happens is like, the operations of big tournaments, that's, like, a real thing that people have to really worry about, like, where there's, like, financial stakes and, like, you got to coordinate teams. Like, there's a lot that kind of wanes in the background with just, like, the release of a game.
I saw a tweet from T.O. Joe, actually, friend of the show, Gommelhead T.O., like, head of many tournaments and been around forever. He tweeted, like, people just don't realize, and truly, I think this is so true in so many aspects of the community. A, just because it's a younger community, it just is. B, it's nerds who they hyper-focus on things, like playing Smash versus, like, the bigger picture, how does everything work, how does this all fix together? It's like, if you don't do those things, like production, if you don't do those things like casting, or if you don't do those things, especially TOing and like doing everything, it's like, you just don't know. So just a lot of pressure when it comes to those things and a lot of risk, financially and otherwise, like mental health wise, all this other shit, man, it's crazy. And I think it's so tough right now because there's so many games that are doing so well. Whereas usually it was Ultimate or, you know, Melee 2, Smash in general, that's usually doing so well. But now it's like, and don't get me wrong, I love watching Street Fighter, I love watching Tekken, I love watching all those games, but seeing them do so well and seeing us, like, I don't know, man, like, try to figure out if we're banning characters or we don't really have a unified rule set despite the best efforts of friend of the show, Dakpo. Like, it's just interesting is what I'll say about it.
And the other thing is, like, none of this is new, right? So this is just, like, years worth of, like, I guess I'll call it, like, community trauma that is, like, piled up where it's, like, you kind of forget about it when a new game releases because everyone's just enjoying the game. But there is, like, a lot of just, like, bare-bones stuff. But at the end of it, too, the nice part about this life cycle is you kind of see who really loves the game and who's, like, really into it and why. Because, like, that is, like, a pretty good plus. Because some people, it's, like, And I was like, you have like people like us, like you gave me, thank you for the nice introduction earlier. Like, I know you've been around this stuff for years, right? And it's just like, there's peaks and valleys of everything. And we're just like about to hit that peak. I mean, new console is announced. And honestly, I know we talk it, we hype it up, but like, there's a reason for it, you know, like that's like a real effect.
Yeah.
Everyone feels that. Do you guys remember?
Landscape changes are really interesting. Sorry to cut you off.
No,
but
that's okay.
I was talking with a... Chris knows Jack. I saw Jack for the first time in a while, and he was just asking me about Smash, like, how's it going? Because he hasn't been playing or keeping up. And the more I was describing to him, the more he was just like, wow, this is like a whole different, like everything is different. The big tournaments, like where the big tournaments are located, you know, how the game is being played. And it's just like, I was telling him, like, you know, a lot of people in America probably have to travel internationally if they want to go to the biggest tournaments and stuff. And he was just really surprised at how, because when you mentioned like landscape specifically, that like word stuck out to me because it's just so different, like just within Ultimate, within the same game.
Yeah, for sure. Like you're talking about, I remember, you know, you go back. Well, I think part of this has to do with the whole crazy climate of like 2020 and pandemic stuff, because that was like a whole other thing that we don't really have to like talk about. But I do think it's notable because like in 2019, you're right, she was just different. And what I was going to ask earlier, right before you were mentioning that, was like, do you guys remember the release of Ultimate? Like, do you remember how crazy it was those first streams? And you hear like, do, 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 and you're just like, character select screen, like Gonz is picking Simon and like winning.
I do remember that very well.
Like, this is crazy. Like,
it is the best part of like, and that was one of the coolest things too, is like, all very, very history repeats itself, right? A lot of the same storylines are gonna go, who's gonna be good going forward into the next Smash game. Hey, these players, they were, let's say what it is, these players are fucking carried. How are they going to do in the next Smash game, right? Like, that's so exciting to watch, and, like, it's going to be exciting. I mean, I'm still here for Ultimate, and I think I love Ultimate so much, like, still. I really do, and I think we had some banger tournaments this weekend, which does help, because, I don't know, dude, it's like anything else, really. Well, you guys don't watch baseball that much, but sometimes there's just, like, well, Gavin, you're a big basketball guy. Sometimes, like, your team just doesn't play well, or the Sixers are off, right? It's like, yeah, I could watch another team, but it's not like the same. So I feel like sometimes in Smash, that it just is what it is. Like, even big Melee tournaments, if there aren't people there that I'm super interested in watching, I'm not going to watch. Or even Street Fighter, Tekken, anything else that I really like watching, if there isn't a hook, I'm not going to watch it. So I guess what I'm saying is, like, ups and downs, like, it is what it is. Ultimate's been around for a long time. We got to ride the highs when we're here, which I think this weekend was fantastic. I think there were some amazing, amazing sets played. Congrats to Mutase. I think people were saying it's his first major win in Ultimate. I don't know how true that is. I didn't fact check it, but I guess I'd believe it. But Mutase taking down Patchwork. Yeah. Yeah. I know you were streaming the matches, Gavin. You've been streaming a lot more. So what did you think of the tournament, or at least what you did watch of it? Because there was a bit of a mix up.
Yeah, I was streaming it for a few hours, but then the fire alarm thing happened. And I didn't really have the time to, like, I didn't know what to do when, like, I could have just like played Smash for a bit while I waited, but I decided just to call it quits. So I didn't finish the whole thing on stream, but there's a lot of interesting matches. Like, I was in the middle of watching Shattuck Cola, which, like, everyone was excited for it, like me, the chat, like, that's just like the type of head to head that I think the majority of people are going to want to tune into. Like, watching Zomba play for the first time in a while was cool. Seeing how consistent Wrath has been very interesting as well. I feel like he's made a noticeable improvement in 2024 specifically, I would say, despite being around for a while and doing well. It feels like, you know, the Momocon momentum, like, hasn't quite stopped. He beat Zomba in winners. It just seems like he's playing with some fire, to be honest. And then I think Wrath woke the fire up in Zomba after Wrath beat Zomba in winners, because Zomba went all the way to second place and almost took set one off of Mute. So I think Zomba definitely woke up in that bracket, especially because it had been a long time since we saw him on a like playing with like relatively large stakes or something like that. So that was interesting. But to be honest, despite all those interesting storylines, like Mute didn't really have like hiccups. It was kind of clear who the best person in the room was that day, to be honest, is how I would say it. Like, anytime Mute was dealing with something, like lost a game or something, it seemed to get figured out pretty quick. Mute would get a lead and hold on to it like we're used to seeing. Like, Mute would be up 3 stocks to 1, and you would see he's playing like it's last stock of Grand Finals. Like, so he was very locked in and just didn't really have the hiccups the other players had throughout the bracket in terms of dropping sets or something like that. So, congrats to Mute. But yeah, there was some interesting stuff that it kind of just makes you curious. Like when we go to like a tournament, like Supernova or something, like, if those handful of players will do well. Also, there's things like Shattuck, like probably doing a little worse than people would expect. But it kind of reminds me of whenever Spargo like underperforms at a tournament and then comes back and like wins a major or something. Like these players are still finding their footing as like people and players because they're just so young. But, you know, I was also talking about it on stream where like people like Zomba, Spargo, Shattuck, these are players that you're going to want to keep an eye on when the next game comes out. Because I feel like they're at that... at that age where they can like, if a new Smash game comes out, they can dominate it from start to finish, I think. So on my stream, I was kind of having that conversation, like what players specifically do you think can really dominate the next Smash game from start to finish, whenever that happens, probably in the next like couple years or something like that. So that was interesting. But yeah, it was pretty cool. I went back and watched a little bit of what I missed, but I didn't really finish it. Like live or anything, but going back to when we were talking about just the beginning of Ultimate, that was like obviously an insane time, and B and I were like on a walk like the other day, and we were having a wholesome conversation about Ultimate. It wasn't just complaining or anything. We were talking about some of the things that just felt like, because where we're at right now, it feels like competitive Ultimate is never considered by Nintendo, right? Like a lot of people know that. But when Ultimate was first coming out, there were so many like breaths of fresh air put into Ultimate competitively or just Smash competitively. The hazard toggle was the coolest thing I had ever seen. Because I remember when I was just straight up a kid living at home with my parents and Smash 4 was coming out, I was hoping they were going to do something like that. I saw the Mega Man stage getting revealed. It had like a boss fight mid-match. And I was like, that's cool and everything. But what if what if we had those weird platforms and they took out the hazards? Like, I was already trying to like think of something like that. And when it didn't happen, it's like, oh, damn, you just forget about it. Then Ultimate comes out. There's a hazard toggle. And you know what else I'm actually a big fan of that I feel like I've took for granted, and it's kind of crazy to think it's not in other games? The kill screen thing. I don't know what it's.
Yes.
Is there an official name for it? But what else? It's so fantastic for competitive. Like, it's so cool.
Yes.
Like, for the Dude. Crowd, especially like a relatively casual person that genuinely doesn't know if it'll kill or not. Like,
as a caster, that was one of the first things I thought about, obviously. Yeah. I was like, this is built for fucking hype, like 1,000%. Yes. And you go back to any of the big tournaments, any of the big W's, and you get that really nice sound effect, and it highlights the killing blow, like how they got it. It is, I think so too, Gavin. And I think a part of it is we're so far removed from that stage of it where things were new and shiny. Like that new shiny, dude, it doesn't matter. I don't know, we're humans, we're like stupid like that, where like, you buy something and you love it so much, you know, like a new car or like something like that. And you love it so much. And then it's like, you see other new cars out there a couple years later and it's like, oh shit, this one has like the even better, you know, features and shit on it. It's like, damn it. Like, wow, I still have this car. That's great. But like, and then it goes a couple more years. You're like, fuck, like I need a new car. Right. Or I need a new, whatever the hell it is, shiny new thing. And it's like Ultimate did so many things. And I think, dude, I was so excited for the rule set too. I'm glad we're nerds in the same way, because I was like Kalos. I was like Kalos can be a stage. I love Kalos. I think that stage is so fucking cool. Obviously, it came with its own set of problems just because. But like, just that it could happen was so cool. And yeah. Not to mention, like, kind of one that you're talking about and one that we'll probably talk about in a little bit when we do the little rate the music thing I talked about. But like Omegas and Battlefield versions of your favorite stage, and you can get any music on them. Like the music in general in Ultimate, which again is like a great way to talk about what we're going to be talking about in a bit. It's just having access to that whole library was something we never really had before. Like it just was not as accessible. Dude, I mean, Cloud had two songs, man, you know, like which was still true in Ultimate for quite some time. But it's just like in a game, like I think that's where Sakurai deserves so much credit, to be honest with you. Like, is he an incredible competitive Smash designer? No, right? Like, no. But does he really care? Does he really, like, hone in on things like the music and, like, being able to capture everything about a character, including their stage and their music and final smashes? And, like, he's just very, very, I think thoughtfulness is, like, his best attribute. But, yeah. Anyway, sorry. That was a bit of a rant. But either way.
But it just made me realize how much I took those things for granted, because once B and I started talking about these things that were so cool when the game first got introduced, I was like, damn, in that moment, it felt like the game was getting catered to competitive a little bit. But if you look at it right now, especially in the state Smash Ultimate is in, with like oppressive characters and you know, things just being a little stale and all that blah, 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 it's hard to consider that Ultimate competitive Ultimate is cared for at all. But when the game was first coming out, like those quality of life things that were given to us, like if they were taken from us right now, we would be truly miserable. Like
small Battlefield, man, that shit came out of nowhere. We just talked about that last episode, I think. And dude, the other one too is like, I just wish, in the consistent feedback I have from 4 to Ultimate and going forward, is I would like more support for the game way before the end of the life cycle of it. Like a month or two before the game ends, or when you announce the new one, okay, then stop doing updates. But bro, it's been, when was the last patch? I don't even know, dude. But like, that was enough, man. And they did some really fucking good patches in this game. They added a new move in for Ken and Ryu, who were severely underpowered characters in this game. That's never happened before in Smash. Like, and in that way, Gavin, especially because you think about it, they hired competitive Smash people to help do some initial changes.
Yeah, hearing all that was like, holy, like that shit was insane.
They did so much right out of the gate and kept it up for a really good amount of time, but now we're out of that time. And that's the problem, is like, I just wish that time didn't, bro, if they announced a Fighter Pass 3 for Ultimate and then more patches, oh bro, what the fuck? Well, I'm so in.
That's what Smash Ultimate Deluxe is gonna be.
Yeah. Really just that. God, not this. Sorry. No, they're gonna have less characters, Gavin said.
No, I did not say that.
I said all the same with another battle pass. You know, everything included up to now in the deluxe.
I love saying the opposite. Like, the opinions you hate, I love being like, oh yeah, Gavin wants Scorpion and Smash and Fatalities. He thinks they're really Spider-Man. Cool. Mario in a cart, that was his idea.
Yeah, I was screaming, and I was just like, I just know we're truly in the middle of the speculation period, especially since the console has been like, confirmed, even if it's through something as strange as a tweet from Nintendo. Now that it's in the air officially, every stream I do, a big part of it, if not a majority of it, is Smash speculation. It's ridiculous. Like, as soon as the tournament was like put on hold for a bit on my last stream, talking about the next Smash, I was just scrolling through a Reddit thread of like over the last like 12 months or so, like some were more recent than others, of what characters people want. And it was just like good memories though, because I'm sure if any Smash fan who's had access to the internet has seen the dumbest Smash requests since they were children. Like, I was seeing someone ask for Mario in a cart as a character to represent Mario Kart.
What was the dog from Yoshi story or whatever?
Yeah, Poochie from Yoshi. Like, just like, but like at the same time, it's like so like,
it's like, yeah, we're in the fun. Does Poochie even deserve to be an assist trophy? I don't think so.
Surprisingly, I don't think so.
He could be a sticker or whatever, like whatever's in the next one.
A spirit, yeah.
I think that's not talked about enough. Oh, sorry, Snickers Brawl, showing my boomer card.
I miss trophies, bro.
Trophies
were great. I love trophies.
Trophies were one of the best side things that had ever happened in Smash, in my opinion.
There were some really crazy ones in Melee that felt like very exclusive and like difficult to get, all that good stuff.
They did a good job. I think that's not, yeah.
Wasn't Smash 4 trophies too, right?
Yeah.
Like, and they were cool then too. You just,
I think 3DS might have put a bit more emphasis on it though.
You just collect them. Like the spirits are cool. My problem with the spirits is there's no breakdown of what anything is. That was like the most fun part. Is you're like, oh wow, yeah. Okay, so this character's from
a whole essay dedicated to it. Yeah,
that's what I miss. Oh, so there are still updates. This will be my prompt. The only updates for Smash right now are spirit updates. They actually still do updates for spirits, which is interesting to me a little bit.
And amiibos, right? But that was, they did the Sora one. That was the last one.
Some amiibos, and that's it. Like, it's pretty crazy. So with that in mind, I don't know what you think about that, because we're not in trophy territory anymore. Now they just add fucking a JPEG and give a whatever color skin for a character.
Yeah.
I remember when the Sora amiibo update was coming out, I was praying there was like an emergency patch with it for like the things that like needed to change.
That's a cope.
It did not happen. Because I know they have to genuinely alter the game to make the amiibo compatible.
Right.
So I thought that justified the prediction of a patch, because like, why not? But no.
I would give you a better prompt.
Like I said, that is like my only main complaint is like, if the game was still supported, not even DLC, like just patches, whatever, man. Like just update the characters, buffs, nerfs, just keep it interesting. But the game is so enormous, like, I got to imagine, like, even making small changes, like, is tough.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. The thing is like, to me, the only fun part about, like, at this point, I see, like, what a trail it's been from trophies down to, like, whatever, like I said, whatever the spirits are. The thing is like, that makes me wonder what they do for the next game, right? Because the single-player experience has tailed. So, although the game hasn't really catered towards competitive, the single-player has not benefited from that. Because the single player of Smash, as you know, like Subspace, like that stuff was like legendary. Like everybody loved Subspace.
Yeah.
And then if they made a mode like that, that'd be cool. It's just hard to imagine for me. After World of Light, I guess it's hard for me to imagine.
A great game mode, though. We all agree, World of Light. W.
A lot of people occasionally will mention they care more about the single player than like adding new characters, and as silly as I think that is, obviously the better the single player, the better, like the cooler that is for everyone. But I don't know, it like Sakurai's just been so weird about single player ever since the Brawl Subspace cutscenes got leaked on the internet. He has literally been scarred for eternity since then. It has been ridiculous how much he hates putting time into single player since then.
Is that's real? I actually didn't know that was like a thing.
He has been upset about it ever since.
Interesting.
That's the rumor. I don't know if I've heard it from him, but that I've also heard that it was because people leaked the very cool Subspace cutscenes.
Yeah,
they were cool.
They were very cool. Very cool. That was like the first like cross franchised stuff you would see. Like
that is the thing. People, you know, the gripes people have with multiverses in the current state it's in, they are what they are. But some credit I will give them to the end of the world is the trailers they do for characters always include cross promotional stuff. Like they do a really good job with that. Like the new Agent Smith one that came out had like bugs in it and gremlins and stuff like that. So it was the fact that they do that is really, I think that's like some of the magic of the world of Smash and crossover platform fighters and stuff like that. It's really cool. Even some of the endings like in Marvel versus Capcom 2 and stuff, you know, that game that's going to be in the next Smash. Anyway,
I think it's kind of misleading, like the initial World of Light trailer where everyone's getting smoked and Kirby lives, like it's so large scale looking, and then when you play it, it's like it gets shrunken down immensely. Even like Sephiroth's trailer, it makes it look like World of Light is the craziest video game experience you'll ever have, and it doesn't even match a little bit. Like the cutscene where like all the evil Mario showing up and Kirby's the last one alive, and it's like this stranded like planet, like, and then you just play it. It's a fucking board game.
That's interesting, because I view that as like a way to enhance it. Like, here's the story of this grand thing, and then here's the gameplay. I see what you're saying. I also like board games a lot, so maybe that was the part that helped out with that.
The map was fantastic. The idea was even cool. It was just very flat. It was just regular Smash the whole time. It was different.
No,
it wasn't
that's not true. All the enemies, like, I appreciated all the references. I really did. Like, fuck. I'm so embarrassed to admit how much I like World of Light. But
you don't
have to be.
Like, I could appreciate your opinion on it. Like, I actually think it's not even a bad opinion. Like, I think there was enough.
I think it kind of is. But I think still
it's
own
like,
it.
But I think the main problem is it does not feel like even the missions in Melee did to me. You know what I mean? Like, where you're playing a mission where
I thought as a kid that shit was so cool.
That was
But you have to think about the scale. Like, if they did missions for Melee again, we'd be like, what the fuck? This sucks. Like, we already did this.
That's
exactly.
The thing.
Well,
the cutscenes might fall flat too.
Mm-hmm. Like, I agree with that.
It's difficult but that's the thing. I think I would rather play 64 in Melee single player than Ultimate. Especially Melee.
I'd rather play Smash Run, bro.
64 still has board the platform, sorry.
That is fine. Yeah, I mean, but it's only one stage though, isn't it? Is it two? One?
Well,
every character has their own. Yeah.
The characters, yeah.
That's right. So, every character has their own.
Yeah, I think people shouldn't get their hopes up too much for single player in Smash. I think they clearly could throw a curveball. Smash is very good at, you know, being better than what we can imagine in the speculation period, essentially. But it's just hard to predict like single player right now, just because Sakurai's been tight as fuck. Like, he's just been angry about the cutscene thing, bro.
That's so funny, dude. He is stubborn. I will say that. I respect that.
Dude, he has a good vision for it too. Like, mm-hmm. the subspace cutscenes were cool. The World of Light cutscenes were great. Sephiroth's trailer was literally a movie.
Yeah.
Like, the vision is there. He's just being stubborn, bro. He doesn't want it to get leaked again.
I think, too, like you said, the scale of it is so much bigger than it used to be. Like, even just put Brawl's character select screen next to Ultimate's. How the fuck are you going to put every single one of them into a cut? He had a hard enough time to Brawl because that was hard. That was really, really hard.
Yeah.
And Nintendo hardware is improving significantly either. Like, it's not that much better than it used to be, so it's not like you're upgrading getting like, whoa, this is like a PC level game now. Like, you're still working, you know, within the constraints of Nintendo hardware, so it feels like a small miracle when he makes Smash the scale that it is. And a lot of that is the creativity, which is what I appreciate about the trailer being this grand adventure for World of Light, and then you're like, oh, it's just a board game. I'm like, I kind of appreciate that though, because like, he kind of made it work, in my opinion. More people would agree with you for sure.
A little bit of D&D vibes, low key, actually. Like, where you like, paint this story and then,
For the size of the game,
80 characters and stuff. I could see why this would not be a focus. Like, it's not like I'm not that, you know what I mean? But it's like totally. The one thing I will say about Brawl, because I just something one of you guys said made me think of this. Is it feels like the cool thing about that game is they brought Nintendo characters back to life. Like Pit, for example, that was Kid Icarus was two games actually on the NES and one on the Game Boy, and that was it. Like Uprising wasn't even out yet, but they recrafted this character to look 3D and put in the universe, and it just like they almost like brought him back.
It's almost like creating a Smash original character at that point.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
It's
borderline like that. And
Falcon, right?
About Smash.
Yeah, Falcon 2, actually. Yeah,
Falcon
Melee.
Ness.
That's true. Ness.
64. Falcon
and then Smash Ness. Has its impact to the point where they don't even have to make a new game because of that. Smash can be like, yeah, we just want to do this. Like, F-Zero, the best thing it's got is F-Zero 99, and people are grateful that that even exists.
Yeah.
Like,
well, but that's a down bad fan base is what I have to say about it. Because
Falcon is more a Smash character than he is an F-Zero character. Falcon has made more money for Nintendo through Smash than through F-Zero. And that is a fact 100%. That I don't have to check.
1,000%. 1,000%.
And I think that's cool because you can look at it in two ways when you're in the speculation period of a new Smash. Like, are they going to bring this character back just because they have an idea and they think it can work? Or are they going to bring this character back because Nintendo also has plans to make games? And that's where you can start to actually feel like there's validity to your predictions and opinions, because for me, I'm always looking like, oh, maybe Paper Mario has a chance. There was Origami King. They're like remaking games. I hope Dixie Kong gets in the game, because I hope the timeline adds up and there's like a new DK game, blah, blah, blah. Like, so we'll see. Like, bro, even characters like Simon and Richter, like, they just did that.
I know. It's amazing. They were highly requested for a long time too, and it's really that was felt like
it's interesting when they do it when the window is so long gone. Like, it's cool that they're still considering it.
K. Rool felt the same way, where it's, and that felt, Ultimate felt that way in a lot of ways.
Isn't even in Donkey Kong games anymore.
That's what I'm saying. Like, Ultimate felt like a checklist in a way, where it's like, okay, we got Banjo, everyone was asking for Banjo, everyone was asking for K. Rool, everyone was asking for Castlevania, etc., etc. It felt like they checked a lot of boxes with that. It felt like a goal of the game.
That's why it's important to consider it again. Like, what things do they have to check off that, like, you'd be surprised. For something like Smash, there's a lot of boxes that need to be checked. Like,
that's why you think Mario in a cart will get in.
Well, even just sort of modernizing characters that they have plans to use later. Like, I actually do think the Pit example is a good one, because that whole, like, Persona creation of Pit turned into a whole other game on the 3DS, turned into Kid Icarus Uprising. Yeah. Like, that Pit model came, like, basically from Smash. And granted, Sakurai made that game too, but still. So it's like, you just don't know who shows up. Like, even, like, Duck Hunt Dog, and suddenly you have, like, some stupid, like, Nintendo shovelware that like has Duck Hunt Dog, but now it's like he's modernized graphics, and you saw that on the Switch. So it's like there's like some degree of maybe they could use the assets
for the next Smash game, like, because of how many characters they put into Ultimate that were simply characters that were requested like even a decade or decades ago for some of them. Like, I think of Master Chief. There's no way they didn't hear it that much and that they're not considering it right now. That's definitely in their pocket for like we break the internet for a little bit. I'm always thinking of Waluigi, like, and then there's even weird ones that they're just so requested that they have to be considering it still. Like, there's characters that pop up in the conversation, in the rumors and the leaks every time, to where you have to consider them. Like, I'm always hearing about Lloyd, always, for like since my childhood. True. Like, I'm trying to look back and like, hey, are they actually going to do that? Are they going to go back and do that because of how often it was requested? So we'll see.
He did well on the Japanese Smash ballot too. He was top three, wasn't he? I think he was up there. It's like Sora was number one, I think. He was like, definitely very high up there.
Like, that's why Geno, I think, like, the chances are like so good, because there's so many like valid points. There's the video game remake point where he's relevant right now in actual games. The game sold well enough to justify it, and he's been requested since before this remake existed. So, you know, all the checkboxes are filled for characters like that, and that's why I think Geno and Paper Mario are so possible. Because not only are they obviously requested characters, they just make sense with the timeline, because we're going to see the next console sooner than later. But then there's just general Smash fan stuff. Like, there's always a character. Like, bro, we were seeing Chorus Kids in leaks for like 10 years. Like, so, like, as weird as they sound to get added, it feels like they always go back and find a way to add the character if they got requested enough, even if the timeline doesn't add up. Like, K. Rool, Banjo, Ridley, they're just picking up where they left off. Like,
I think Sakurai likes that kind of head spinning from the crowd, where it's like, wait, what the hell? You're doing this? Like, oh, this is happening now? I think he likes that for sure. And
it's so easy for it to be a surprise. If you wanted it, it doesn't happen, and you give up.
Exactly. Yes. Even since we're all right.
So many of characters in those positions get added way later.
Especially if they get some bullshit like an assist trophy or a Mii skin or something like that, and then all your hope is just dead. And it's like, wait, new game?
You think the D confirms it, when in reality you probably should be considering it more than usual.
Yeah, I mean, that's how Crom started. Wasn't Crom just a Mii outfit? And then he's in literally the
Little
next
Mac. Little Mac 2 is the greatest. He's the greatest glow up. Well, he's barely a character, but you know.
He's the best example of just it's weird. There's no sensible timing, but he had an assist trophy, and I guess a vision was just completed. And I don't know. I'm trying to look down those lines of thinking, just because it's so hard to get into Nintendo's head when it comes to, or Sakurai's head when it comes to Smash speculation. But I feel like I have enough experience, and I've been around long enough where I should be smart enough to figure this out. We'll see. But yeah, characters that just like somehow always become a part of the conversation that aren't in yet, those are the characters I'm thinking about right now. But then there's the obvious ones. Like, I expect more Splatoon. It's just so large in Japan.
I was
Monster Hunter, blah, blah, blah. Like,
I was thinking, because they kind of pseudo did like a heroes and villains theme for Ultimate in a way, yeah, you know, with K. Rool, Sephiroth, you know, Steve, and Ridley, like all these other characters. Well, Steve actually had Enderman and Zombie and whatever, so actually yeah, true. Ridley. But right, it's like these characters that were lacking a counterpart in Smash, and they got a major villain to yeah, kind of show up, or it's been a while since they got a character. So yeah, I think of that a lot, of like duos would be really cool for the next Smash game. Like they add in like Richter and Alucard would be a duo, yes, or bring back Ken and Ryu, or like add in like Cammy and Chun-Li or something, right? Like, I think that would be cool. Or you could do two villains, or like think of like Tekken, you know, Heihachi and Kazuya, or whoever you want to add in, right? Like, it's just kind of cool to think. I like thinking about fleshing out the franchises too, like new characters. Absolutely. New franchises are amazing because you get stages and music and all that shit, but I think fleshing out what we have is like, I think people are kind of missing a gold mine right in front of them. Final Fantasy's right there with two reps from one game from that series, like right there, you know. There's clearly a good working relationship because Kingdom Hearts is also there. A lot of opportunity, in my opinion.
People have been speculating the villain thing, because being a villain checks a box by itself. So when you're trying to flesh out a franchise, like I expect a Sonic character in the next game 100%. Sonic's doing much better than usual because of the movies, and even the games are doing better than usual. So I think the timeline adds up for the franchise. And I just expect Shadow, just with how the timeline is right now. I think Knuckles is more likely than Eggman as well. I think Shadow's like a shoo-in right now. Honest, I think if a game was happening right now, there's some shoo-ins I would expect. Monster Hunter, Splatoon, Sonic character. Like there's some things that make me nervous, but like, you know, like obviously Fire Emblem, Xenoblade 3, blah, blah, blah. Nervous. I actually don't expect Metroid. A lot of people thought I was crazy. I just don't think there's a character from Metroid that would represent the franchise different enough. It's kind of like where Zelda is, where you think they should have more characters.
Well,
but what's impactful enough?
What if that new Metroid 4 villain is just like some crazy hunter, and then that's just like what they go with? You know what I mean? Like that's a yeah, possibility.
Well, but isn't that character a callback from the...
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
I forget what its name is, but that's definitely possible.
If you add him, what does it truly bring? I guess it brings more of a focus to the Prime series than just Metroid, but like,
yeah,
maybe. I think we're lucky we even have Dark Samus. I think Samus and Ridley is obviously as good as it's going to get for a game like that's as, you know, like lonely and ambient as Metroid. Like, you're not going to just have a crazy cast of characters to pick from. I think they did as good as they're going to do. And I think Zelda's in a weird spot like that, where it's as popular as anything else, but any character someone's going to request just isn't recurring enough. The only one that really comes to mind is Impa. And
yeah.
And then when you think about it, we're lucky we have the cast we do with Zelda. They just kind of made it work with characters like Zelda, and even a Sheik. Character like Sheik was just a product of the time. Sheik was just a product of the time. Sheik wouldn't get it added in nowadays.
I'd expect the new Ganon in before another...
Yeah, we expect the series to be like kind of given a fresh coat of paint before they get a new character. Because there's just Skull Kid would be one of the characters I'd want in Smash the most, just because it's from a game I love. But it's hard to truly justify what it does for the series, whether that's Zelda or Smash as a whole. So I don't know. Things like Metroid and Zelda, they're just in such weird spots just because of how the games are.
But even like Splatoon, I can't really think of like a character. Yeah.
I think of more of like weapons and how much they have to work with.
Like a different inkling with like a different loadout. That's that.
It's just so popular that I think it's
interesting.
I don't want it. I don't even want it. I just think it's a guarantee.
You'd get an Octoling probably.
It'd probably be that.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah.
There's so many weapons. Like, they probably have so much more music they would want to put in now. Like,
ooh. Speaking of music.
Yeah, you know, that's probably a good segue because we've had this whole section planned. This was almost 2 weeks in a row. We were like in a separate call just to hear the audio that we just didn't use, but we can use it now.
So here's what I was thinking, because again, I'm on this tear of like, here's content that I enjoy, so maybe we should do some of it on the podcast. Let's see how it works out. I think the little quiz show we did recently was pretty fun. So this one, it's more just like, I'm an idiot. I like tier lists, you know, I like tier lists of things, but we've done tier lists before. I like the rate character costumes, like that stupid shit. And I was like, dude, the thing I really love in Smash is the original remixes that they do. And I found this playlist. It's supposed to be all the remixes that are in Ultimate for Smash. And I was like, all these are bangers. Let's talk about how much we like these. And I started listening to them. I'm like, wait, some of these kind of suck. Like, let's talk about that. Like, I think, and I have a pretty good list here. So if you want to just open up the first one, Chris, I think it's like, if you just go to that playlist and open it, hit it up. So we'll listen and we'll all kind of react and talk about it. We might not even know what song it is. I think I have a pretty good list here that I'm going to start linking to you, Chris.
Yeah. I mean, you could definitely recognize like what this is, but what it's trying to be, I don't know. That's a whole different
thing. I do not like this. That was the first thing. That's kind of what made me think to do this. So this is the idle screen, like on N64 or every Smash game. How to play, like, type music, right? And it's showing Mario beat up Bowser or Luigi, I think, in 64.
Yeah.
And this to me is, this is too much, man. This is too much. Like, I get that Ultimate, as we talked about earlier, it's supposed to be this intense like drama and like a lot of like Game of Thrones type epic shit. Not here, man. Like I much prefer. I agree, dude. I really think this is a miss. Like, I really want to give this like a D plus or a C minus. Like, really unhappy with this.
It's not as good as the 64 version. It's not as good as the Melee version. It
does nothing.
As it's just trying to act like it's bringing something crazy to the table, it's not. It's just not.
Yeah. Is it like the implication is everyone knows how to play Smash, so like, like this is crazy. Like, no, man. Like,
yeah, and also, the remix won't play in the idle thing in Ultimate. You're just going to have to listen to this yourself. Like, it's not.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't think ever play.
It plays the World of Light cinematic, that's right.
But no, even when it goes to the how to play thing in Ultimate, it's not going to play this song, I don't think.
Oh, really? I think it does. I can, like, hear it in my head at tournaments, but maybe I'm just.
Yeah,
Maybe I'm wrong. What's the stupid song? Life Light. That's the only song I hear at Ultimate tournaments. And then that shrill sound of the Kirby, like.
Oh yeah, the star.
Yes.
Thank you. All right. I sent you another one. Okay. Let's kick this one up a bit. Let's recover here. This one is just, to me, this is what it's all about, in my opinion.
I already
this
see
one.
It. I don't want to ruin it.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. All right, hit it,
dude.
Perfect. Like, just
magical.
Actually an S plus, like whatever the highest fucking letter we're giving here.
Yeah, I just can't believe it's even real to this day. Like,
the fact that it was coupled with the trailer, with the announcement, like, it was just to end, like, it's so good, dude. And it's a song that I care about so much, you know, that hadn't really been done yet. And so this, and it was the beginning of Ultimate. You talked about how crucial that first stage of Ultimate was, like the discovery of it and all the shit. And it's like, this is so important. This is a huge, they knew it. They had to kill this shit, and they did.
There's so much to Smash and its music that you'll forget about things really easily. Not because they're bad or good. This is one I will never forget ever. Like,
right.
This is one of the handful of songs I think of in Ultimate, and that says a lot. So,
I listened to this song so much when it first came out, dude, on YouTube. Yeah. So much, dude. Like, when I was in a bad mood, I'd put this shit on, to be honest with you. I really did. SSS plus, whatever you want to say.
And it even has that weird, like, you know, the DK Melee rap. It even like calls back to those vibes a little bit towards the middle or something. Where it does like a break, like that breakdown thing.
The vocals, basically, that it has.
Yeah, it reminds me of the, you know, playing on Jungle Japes and Melee as a kid.
It feels a little like it's like alive a little bit, you know?
There it is.
Yeah.
There it is. All right, do this one. I am curious to see what your opinion is on this one. Both of y'all.
Oh. I do have opinions on this one.
Okay, good. Me too, actually. Bro.
It's okay. Here it is. Here's the thing. I love
let it play. Let it play. Let it play. Hold on.
Okay. Okay.
Oh, dude. Yep. It's, all right. Go ahead.
So I love Pokemon more than life itself. Uh-huh. This is worse than the original.
Can we play the original real quick? I think I'll get.
Well, I link me.
The song is so good that it's fine.
Yes.
Like, I'm still appreciative of it, but it does not hit the exact same.
Here's what I think.
Slightly worse.
I think that's valid. Here's what I think. I think that I can hear, you know what I hear when I hear the song? I hear Fox Neutral Air, Fox Up Smash. I think of Paris 1000%.
He doesn't even pick
the
song though.
No. And I think this song is a great battle song because it complements what's going. It's more in the background than you would think it is, in my opinion. Like, I can hear so many Diddy. I can hear Zero Suit. Like,
it's never going to bother you. It's never going to be too much.
I think it's a great remix. Like, I don't think it's perfect or anything, but I think it's like an A minus B plus type deal. Like, I think it's really good. There's the original, by the way, Chris. By the way,
B's favorite song for Pokemon stage is actually Battle at the Summit, the champion battle.
Yeah. I love that one too.
That song, like, she loves that song.
It's really good.
It makes her emotional. She loves that song.
All right, let's see.
Dude. Oh my god. Sun and Moon music.
This should be it.
Yep.
Dude, it just has a little more.
It's got some funk on it, that's why.
Yeah. It's a little more forward, though. Do you hear what I'm saying? Like, it's a little more present than
I can see maybe that they were worried about that.
That's a funky bass, bro. That's why it's cool.
It just has more spice to it. It's better.
Bro, it's a great battle song. Holy shit. It's so good. I like both versions.
It's a good character, too.
The bass. The bass is kicking. And here's another. Let's stay with Pokemon for a little bit because I kind of scrolled through.
Dude, it's so much better. It's even better than I was describing, actually.
It's really good. It's really, really good. All right, let's get this one. Because I think the Pokemon music is so important because it's good music anyway, but we play on PS2 so much, obviously, that it's like, dude, this song, it fucking rips, man. Like, I think this song is great. As many times as I've heard it, I still think it's so good.
It's probably the best. In my opinion, it's the best in-game Pokemon song. Like, you're saying
that's tough, though.
That's important. That's an important decision to make.
It is, because, like you said, we are on here all the time. All of the time. But this one, to me, I think it blends in almost as much as you were saying how the other one blends in. This is on it. Sometimes I don't even register. But I'm just like, oh, okay, cool.
Oh, that guitar break. Dude, it's really good. I love this one.
I wasn't agreeing like that it was that good, but I see it for sure. I guess I'm just so quick to think the original Pokemon music is better, but...
Do you have the original for this? For the sake of it, since we did the other one, I think it's worth it.
You can find it, yeah.
Because, like, something like this, it just sounds, like, instrumental, right? Which...
I feel like I had to play one song, I'm playing Zinnia on Smash PS2. Zinnia. I think I'm playing Zinnia.
I'm just going to play that right now, actually, because it's the next one on the playlist. This one.
Yeah. Dude. I'm playing this song if I can only pick one for the rest of my life on PS2.
I don't know how to describe what I'm trying to say here. I'm going to try, though. This song makes me feel like I'm, like, warping into a world, like, the way it is. You know what I mean? Like, I'm, like, whisked away into, like, a thing. I don't know. I wish I had better vocabulary for it. I just don't.
It's also great. I don't know.
This one's really good. And you can hear, again, another one where you just hear the sound effects. Here's the original of that one, by the way, which... The original of the Versus Steven is so, like, GBA classic fucking music that...
It's cool that they made something for, like, so, like, orchestraic with it. So.
Exactly. I think they do that so well in Ultimate.
Bro, the Game Boy Advance sound font is...
Oh, good, man.
It just sticks with you.
I think the Ultimate one's better if I'm keeping it at $100 here. I do.
You hear the song for its whole... For its entirety, you know what I mean? It's not locked behind the GBA
sound. Right.
Yeah.
All right, next one I got loaded up here. Another one, this one I think a lot of people would say is their favorite song in Ultimate, which I think is interesting. That's why I picked it, because I don't know it that well, but I'm curious to see what you guys think.
Oh, this one's so interesting.
I think so too, because I don't know the series at all. I've never played
Metal Gear. Yeah,
oh my god, so different.
But there's one part for this song that hits so fucking right. Like, this is good, but I'm not really feeling it if I'm fighting, you know what I'm saying?
I don't think I ever hear anyone ever select the song. I understand it's because, like, obviously you're never playing a Metal Gear stage, but I don't think I've ever heard anyone, like, pull this on Battlefield or...
Yeah.
That's the part right there.
It's epic. You guys,
I think they did something cool with it. I think they did their
best. Definitely. Yeah. Oh, absolutely. If I'm a Metal Gear Solid fan, this is the best song in the game, period. Like, it's just over. This is the best song. But I don't know, the build-up's a little bit. The guitar is awesome, though.
The guitar feels retro-y to me, like retro rock, and I think that just fits the era that game came out. It's a cool remix for sure.
And the fact that Snake's back in the game, obviously he deserved something good here. All right, try this one.
I was gonna say, I hope you're gonna link me some of this, and then you did.
I got some of the good stuff on here.
You got me before I could even say it. Chris is a huge
Mega Man. Actually, all three of us are big Mega Man fans.
I'm just from a Smash. I've never even beaten a Mega Man game. I just love him in Smash.
This song in Mega Man X, oh, dude, this is one of the best video game songs, like, almost ever, I'd say.
Yeah, they
it's
jazzed
so
it
good.
Up a bit. It's pretty true to form, but it's got enough extra.
That's
zest.
What I like about it, Chris. It's very true to the original. I agree.
Yeah, it sounds just a little more like whammy on it or something. I don't know.
Modern, I'd say, or like hits a little harder.
I will say, just as a note, we keep it moving, but like there are actually a lot of very good Mega Man remixes. Like
I got a couple.
All of them are
right here.
Pretty.
So that's
good.
Actually
they did the Donkey Kong series really well, but they could do even more.
So that's actually the original song. Hit crank this. Yeah. This song is a banger. Hold on. Dude. You know this one?
Of course.
This song, as a kid, this shit cracked me the fuck up. And I saw it got a remix in Smash, and I was like, there's no way they remade the song and like did it well. Bro, hit that next link, Chris.
They did it well.
Woodman
sure.
Stage, this song goes fucking crazy. I think it was my arena song for a while, just because I thought it was funny Woodman's theme was in. Dude, but it's actually...
Ooh, yeah, but the snare.
Wait for the... Boom! Like, what?
Crazy.
How do they do
that?
That's
what I'm saying.
It does go crazy.
The trick about Mega Man is, like, these games were made, like, his name is Rockman in Japan, so rock and roll, like, roll is his sister. So the thing is these were made to be instrumental, but were 8-bit, so these getting new remixes, like, super free, as long as you have, like, you know what I mean, just anyone competent at instruments.
Mm-hmm. They turn a song that I thought was hilarious into something that's a banger. Like, that song, not that I didn't like Woodman's theme, but damn. This one's a classic, and I think it's one worth looking at. Of course,
shout
right?
To the
like, of course,
too.
Yes, absolutely. I love that they gave Street Fighter like random fucking remixes that, like, Vega has one too that I have the link for. But this is a really, really good version of Guile's theme. Like, again, modernized enough, but very, very true to form. Even maybe a little too true to form. But you can't mess up Guile's theme, bro. You just can't.
Yeah.
It's true. Yeah, like this part's pretty good too. Because usually it gets a little crunch, you know what I mean? And now you hear, like, a little bit of variance. Yeah, that's the cool part about some of the older games where they were kind of locked behind, like, what the console could do with the sound chip.
And then, of course, you know I had to throw a couple on here.
Well, there's a lot. This is another one that got a really good, got the whole treatment for Ultimate.
I would argue the best remixes in Smash.
I don't think I disagree.
And it's a series that was, like, founded on its music. You know what I mean? Like, that's such a... Even from Castlevania 1. Dude, you hear this shit, and it just... Goddamn, it just teleports you, bro. Talk about getting teleported. I got two more.
Lost Painting a lot.
It is amazing. Great remix. I actually had it on here, but then I had too many Castlevania songs. I didn't want to do more than two for each one, but this next one, too.
Yeah,
I didn't even put Divine Bloodlines, because that song is so good on its own anyway. But this next one... Like, adding in, like, not just the rock, but, like, dude, goddamn. We need to do this with more music. Just want to beat some ass, you know what I'm saying? Take some names. This next one, I got the original song, and then I got the last one. Then we'll.
Which one do you want me to play first?
Play the remix first.
Okay.
This is an interesting one, in my opinion.
A remix first.
Very
I'm going for it.
Interesting. I don't know how honestly Gavin feels about this one. I'm curious.
I think they did really well.
Really?
I know this is about fighting and everything, but wow. I care more about the game. Like, I think it's perfectly fine.
Character themes are a little different. I wouldn't say they're necessarily about the fighting that's going on. It's more about the game or, like, the character.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I liked it in the trailer, but I don't know, man. Not for me is what I'd say.
Right, this so the only one
we want to hear the original, right?
Yeah, play the original. Pop the ridge.
The ridge.
Hit it.
Not yet.
Let me
do
it.
Sure.
I'm just okay, this is obviously the GOAT.
That's what I'm saying. This is a tough one, though.
They're very different, at least.
You gotta speed it up, right? Like Gavin said, it is still fight music at the end of the day.
Yeah.
It kind of reminds me of that. You saw that tweet? I'm sure you did. Of the guy who played Paper Mario, the kid who played Paper Mario and was like, I pretended this was Mario's house and I just stay in here. Did you see that? Dude, that's what this reminds me of. Like you.
That's how I played games as a kid. I would just never leave the first area. Like,
that's what I'm saying. Not every fight has to be a battle song. I used to fire up Smash and just like walk around the stages and shit, man. Like that was like some of the most fun I had of the game. Yeah. But either way. Well, that was a condensed fast version of Rate the Song / Look at the Song. If you guys like it, let us know. I like it. We need you, Charles, Marcus, Chris, everyone to like put together a small list and we all kind of react. I think would go well. So let us know what you think, chat.
Best song in Ultimate, go.
Divine Bloodlines.
Oh, it's hard to pick a favorite on the spot, but
it is. Not for me. I'm struggling right now.
I'm a real one. That took me 0 seconds.
I'll pick like Sticker Bush or Genova or something.
Yeah. I had Cosmo Canyon on here at one point. I don't know how I feel about that song. We can cover it another time. Go ahead, Chris. Sorry.
There is a song, actually in the Castlevania songs. I'm trying to think of the name of
Aquarius.
No. Rules. It's not even a Castlevania song. It's another Tecmo game that was like kind of similar to Castlevania. It's called Let me just look up the list of songs. Castlevania songs in Smash. It'll probably come to me as soon as I find it. Songs.
Are they extra?
It is.
We're keeping it.
Why? There it is. Go Getsu Fuma. I don't know if you guys have heard that song. It's really cool. It's like a theme of a game, but it's like they made a remix in Smash. Let me see if it's actually on here. I don't think it is. It might just be the actual song. It's very catchy, though. Very good arena music.
I like the Psycho Soldier song. It's like a random song. I think it's so cool.
Oh, KOF?
Yeah. Like, it's not even from a game I like, so...
It's hilarious, yeah. Bro, it's something I'll say, too. Shit, this is what I wanted to say as my power went out, as Chris is looking for this.
Oh, you remembered?
Yeah, I just want to say, like, I'm so happy, like, because just to have, you know, you guys and the podcast and everyone listening, the idea of a future where we're doing this podcast as new Smash shit is coming out makes me so fucking happy and excited for the future. Gavin, you and I have talked about that many times. It's just like, not that we're not happy to be doing the show now, like that fucking rules and that's great and appreciative of everything that we have here and currently going on, but holy shit, man. Like there's nothing like a new Smash game. Nothing hits the same way.
I think it's cool that we have this podcast so established, like 150 plus episodes in. So we're so ready for when a new Smash game comes out. Like everyone that's that watches or listens to the show, like I'm sure it goes without saying that we all know what we're going to be talking about when the time comes. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's going to be great that like we have this show already established because, you know, it makes it our lives a lot easier for when a new game comes out because we're going to talk about what we have been talking about for 150 plus episodes in the first place, but it's going to be brand new and it's going to be great.
Yeah, I like that note. And this kind of ties into what I said earlier, where I'm like, I was dooming for a minute, and I kind of apologize for bringing that energy earlier, but the reality is there is a magic with these games, and you will always see it on the release of the game. It brings out everybody.
Exactly.
Everybody has something they really like, and they'll point to, or we'll bring them back to play, even if it's for like a week or a day. Like, yeah. Just, there's something in there for everybody, and there, that's like, it's like a grab bag, and that's the cool part.
Yeah, agreed. Well, I guess on that note, we'll probably get into the Patreon bonus content. Thank you so much for Has to bring in these new ideas for the show. And thank you to Chris for filling in because Marcus and Charles couldn't make it today.
Marcus is on vacation. Yeah. Have fun, Marcus. Charles, yeah. Very busy man, as always. Yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
But yeah, we'll get into the bonus content. Have a good one. Thank you so much.